You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're starting some of the shurim which we usually give as a prelude to the Yom Nerayim. And one of the crucial mitzvahs that are mentioned in relation to Yom Nerayim is the mitzvah to do tshuva, to return and rectify your ways and come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what I want to do tonight is analyze the mitzvah of tshuva and to try to point out in the course of my analysis this evening what is unique about the tshuva process of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva that perhaps cannot be accomplished the rest of the year Kol HaShana Kula. I want to mention just as an introduction to the topic that when you look at Midrashic literature, which represents Torah Shabbat Peh, you find that the Rabbanu Shalom from the very beginning of Briyat Olam realized that there was a need to create a concept of tshuva as a remedy for the lack of perfection of spiritual concepts that he expected to unfortunately take place as a result of human beings being created in the image of God. When you look in the initial concept of Briyat Olam, you find that the Ribbono Shel Olam looked upon the combination of a animal spirit or animal qualities which human beings possess being mixed and matched with divine qualities of God, very similar to angelic qualities. The Ribbono Shel Olam admitted that this was going to be a very interesting phenomenon, to see how these two opposite types of kochavs interact with each other, whether you succeed or not in this world and accomplish your spiritual mission will really determine how you manage your animalistic instincts in contrast to your divine instincts, how you balance them so quite obviously they help each other rather than fight each other, and quite obviously you are able to raise yourself because of this rather than cause a downfall. So for this reason, the Rabbanu Shalom in Midrashim already admits that there has to be some way that if a person cannot properly balance his spirituality and his animal spirits, and there is negative consequences that sin occur because of it, what do you do? The Pasuk in Kohath says it very succinctly. The Pasuk says, the Baruch Shem said through the mouth of Shlomo, there's no such thing as a perfect tzaddik in this world. That is a tzaddik gamor that doesn't from time to time have spiritual absence. That's part of being a human being. We're not supposed to be perfect spiritual robots. That was not expected of us. At the same point in time, if there are spiritual lapses, and there is unfortunately a chet that occurs, so there has to be a way that a person can rectify that chet and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Midrashim said that the remedy Hashem basically created was the mitzvah of tshuva, in which we basically try to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, try to rectify the sin, try to prevent it from happening in the future. And that's why in all the Sfarim that deal with the mitzvah of tshuva, the various parts of the mitzvah that are mentioned as a conglomerate, and the common denominator is you have to start with basically being makir was a chet. Some people have a difficulty ever coming to grips with the fact that they sinned. You know, they blame everybody else, but there has to be hakavas a chet. Then there has to be charata ava avar. There has to be a kavava ava asid. And quite obviously, all of this, ultimately speaking, has to be articulated, because as the Rambam says, the mitzvah of tshuva has to be not only a mental concept, but you must articulate the vidu, he says, is a derisive component of the mitzvah of tshuva. You have to articulate these concepts through your mouth as well. So this is something that the Chorabisi, the Rabbanu Shem, created, and it's not uniquely Jewish in nature. If you look back, quite obviously, in the Chumash itself, the concept of tshuva was already mentioned and alluded to Adam and Chava when it came to sinning with the Eitz Hadas Tevara, when it came to the terrible tragedy of Cain and Hevel, what happened over there. Even in the beginning of the tragedy where Cain brought And then the pros were coming to Hashem, and Hevel's Kabbin was accepted. The Kain felt very, very upset and was ready to rebel. But the Rosh Hashanah already revealed to him that you don't have to rebel. You can do tshuva, do better the next time around. So the concept of tshuva, returning and rectifying the past and bettering your future, was articulated according to Chazal explicitly to Kain at that point, even before Achmed Litzlan, he came to the terrible chet of eradicating his brother Hevel based upon jealousy. The concept of tshuva, once again, when it comes to the Goyish world, which I, so far everything I've been talking about relates to the non-Jewish world, the concept of the Dor HaMabul, the purpose of building the teva was to arouse the generation of doing tshuva. It should cause a piercing hadavah that she asks questions, what you're doing. Right. Also, the tefillah of Avram Mehefes Dom Va'amora, Ulayei Shasarthi V'Secha Yir, was the hope that there would be a group of people that would arouse the Sdom Amorites to basically do tshuva and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The most famous narrative of tshuva, the way into the Goyim, however, is recited on Yom Kippurim, and that is Mafti Yonah. The whole Nevuah of Yonah was to Nineveh. It was to a Goyish city, it wasn't to a Jewish city. And that is said on Mamish, I think on Yom Kippur. We come Mamish towards the end of the day already. That episode is mentioned explicitly as a proof how important tshuva is. In fact, if you read the pasuk from Yonah, it says when it comes to where Hashem had told Yonah to give the prophecy that he's going to destroy Nineveh because of their sins, all of a sudden the melech and the people started to do tshuva. And it says in the pasuk, "Vayar lakim es ma'aseim kishavu midakim hara." So Beferish, once the Ninvites did tshuva, Geisha city, Hashem was mochel them, etc., etc. So tshuva itself is a universal concept. It applies to Jews and non-Jews across the board. For the Goyim, it's a mitzvah. For us, it's a mitzvah as well. It's part of Tayyag mitzvahs. And what's interesting and fascinating, I always mention this to people, that one of the mistakes the Goyim make in this world is they think that the holiday of Rosh Hashanah is a unique Jewish holiday having nothing to do with them. So the Mefarshim point out you can't have a bigger fallacy than that, because just look at what the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah concerning what happens on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. It says over here, just to quote, you have this on quotation 1b on the page in front of you, Rosh Hashanah kobay olam ovrim lefanav kebnei marom. On Rosh Hashanah, every human being on the face of this earth, regardless of race, religion, or creed, comes in front of the kisa kavod of Hashem, shenem hayotze achliban hameimis kol ma'aseihem. So we see over here that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, not just for the Jewish people, but it's a Yom HaDin for kol ha'olam kula. So I always tell my Goyish friends that he says, we have a happy Rosh Hashanah. So I said to them, you better pray that I pray well for you, because this is not only my Rosh Hashanah, it's your Rosh Hashanah. And when I tell them that, they freak out. What are you talking about? So I explain to them, everybody's been judged, Jew and non-Jew alike. And that's the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah up until to Yom HaKippurim. So we see it's a universal holiday, and tshuva is a major motif of this specific holiday. The whole world. The whole world is now in the question of judgment. Now, yes, we are mechuyev. That's it. Period. Let's continue.
End of subject.
Okay. You ask me, Shayla, I'm giving you. Now, if you look at quotation C, he says, the Rambam says in Hukos Tshuva, etc. and etc. So he points out that even though tshuva can be done all the year, the whole year round, there's a special chashivut of the Asar of Semei tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, that there's a great ability for our tshuva to be accepted. It's like an acceptance. And he brings a pasuk to demonstrate this. And also he says, if you look in Halacha Zayin, in the same Rambam text, Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva L'chol Yachid L'Rabim Hukates, it's the finality of the Mechila V'Slich L'Yisrael, Lafikra Chayavim HaKol Lasos Tshuva L'Sfadas V'Yom HaKippurim, etc., etc. And the Mitzvah Vidui begins even Erev Yom Kippur, when we say the Alchetz, we're even starting to say Vidui before the Kedushas Hayom, Yom Kippur even begins. So once again, the question that I'm going to pose is, what is so special about the tshuva we do? And that's asked to make tshuva, and why did the Rambam use the terminology that Yom Kippur b'meyuchid is the Kates Mechila v'Slucha Yisrael, has a unique finality to it? What is that finality? He doesn't express it over here, but obviously he's trying to make a point. One other important factor in the Rambam, before I go to the Etzim Shir tonight, is quotation number D. The Rambam of all the Rishonim perhaps is one of the most methodical when it came to writing a book on Kol HaTorah Kula. The Mishnah Torah in his mind was really a reinstatement of Kol HaTorah Kula, and especially the coverage of my path. He goes as far as to say in his Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah that in fact, if you want to know Kol HaTorah Kula, you don't even have to learn, you know, Tama Bavli and Rosh Hashanah and all the other things. Just read my Sefer Mishnah Torah from beginning to end, and you'll have at your fingertips all of Teresh Lapeh besides the Teresh of Iksav. So the Rambam looked upon this as a comprehensive work of Kol HaTorah Kula, and an historical fact that happened to be the first work ever written, not only on the, we call the subject matter of the Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, but it had Kochim contained in it, and Taras contained in it, and Zerayim, things that normally most of the Rishonim of that Tekufa didn't even deal with, because they felt that when Nahal Lachlamas, because the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed, and the ability to live in Eretz Yisrael had been limited. The Rambam nevertheless wrote a Sefer on Kol HaTorah Kula, and he was very methodical and very, very meticulous. That's why the Briskis love using the Rambam text as the source for Briska Torah, because he would think if he wrote on Kol HaTorah Kula, and he wrote on every topic, there should be a total symmetry and total coordination and total perfection. There shouldn't be any contradictions. You know, the greatest mazel that a briska has is Shnei Rambam Samachish Zuzu. This brings the greatest simcha possible to the world of brisk. So you have something to talk about now, you know. And they hope and pray it's not a mistake in the printing. You know, that's really, it's a lamdusha problem. What?
I was just looking into somebody asked me a good question.
Yeah.
They asked, such and such a thing, is that the Raisa, is that the Rabbana?
Yeah.
I said, that's a very good question. I said, it's not so clearly defined always. Yeah. And then Rambam, I think, at the beginning of the introduction to the Mishnah, he goes through a whole discussion of the recycling and...
He defines in different categories of halacha. In the Mishnah Torah, he's very explicit. What's the Raisa, what's the Rabbana, etc., etc. Because there are many reasons you want to know the difference between them. But what I'm going to show you tonight is a stira in the Rambam concerning the power of tshuva. This is where the tonight's shir really begins. If you look in Halacha Gimel on quotation D on the first page, the Rambam deals with a very obvious problem and question everybody asks. And that is, there's a Pasha Achronos in the Torah that has the entire Seder of Yom Kippur mentioned with explicit statements. And by the time you finish reading through there, you realize how important the Karbanos are to the whole Kapara process of Yom Kippur. So the obvious question is, Bizman is that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. How do we have Tshuva Yom Kippur? How do we have the ultimate Kapara Yom Kippur if most of what we did at Tan Beis HaMikdash is not being done today? So that's what the Rambam says in Halach Gimel, Bizman Hazeh, Shem Beis HaMikdash Kayam, Ve'en Lano Mizbach Kapara, we don't have a Mizbeah for Kapara, Ein Shomer L'Tshuva. The only thing we have to do on Yom Kippur is to do Tshuva, Va'Tshuva Mechaperes Al Kol Averes. The Rambam says it has the power to Mechaper on every Avera contained in the Torah, Vafila Rasha Kal Yama Vasa Chuba Bachrana, any maskirlo, Shimdava Mirsho, Shinema, Rishas Arasha Shlai Kashlaba, Yamshuva Mirisho, the Atma Shamaki Purim, the Kedushas Yom Kippur, Amechaper, Lashavim, if you do Chuba, Shem Yama Zeichap Alechem. So we see over here that from this Rambam, Shuva has the power to mechapa on all the averas of Kula Targula, regardless of the severity of the avera or the bitul hamitzvah. You are basically being mevata. No, in halachic gemol he says all averas are kubats. But the problem now is halachic dalit. The same Rambam in the next halacha quotes the concept, or it's called the Dalid Chalukei Kapara. It's based upon the Gemara Daf Peivav Masechtas Yoma. And there, just to paraphrase the Rambam, because I'm not going to read every word over here, he divides averos into four different component parts. There's a concept of a bittul of a mitzvah, say, I don't eat matzah this year. For that, he says, how do you do tshuva? You do tshuva. And that's mechaper. That I won't do it in the future, I won't be mevatel in the future, charata, and azifas achet. You only need tshuva to take care of that problem. What happens if I violate a lo saseh, where there's no karas in Mrs. Bezdin? I eat chazeh. You know, but I eat the zalav of not eating chazeh. So over there the halach is, tshuva needs kedushas Yom Kippur to cause a kapar. So all of a sudden, Shuvah needs Yom Kippur, which I can reconcile with Halachic Gimel, because he also said Kedusha Yom Shuvah Mechaperes. So that I'm also not worried about. But when he hits Krisus and Mises Bezdin, also the Rambam says here we need three things: we need Shuvah, Yom Kippurim, and Yisurim Bo. You need Yisurim to be thrown upon you for Kapara to take place, something that automatically contradicts Halachic Gimel. And then he says that if you do the Maisa Rei Devav L'Chil Hashem, there you need four phenomena. You need Tshuva, you need Yom Kippur, you need Yisurim, and Misa itself is the final component of the Kapara process. So the question everybody asks, whether you're a brisker or a non-brisker, is how do you reconcile Halacha Gimel with Halacha Dalet? Halacha Gimel seems to say that the combination of Yom Kippur with tshuva alone, the chapa al kol averot. When you come to Allah Adalud, which is not written in a different sefer, it's written right next to it, there he brings, no, some stuff needs yisurim, and some stuff needs yisurim plus misa. So this is the million-dollar question that briskers were looking for to say some lamed shatera over here. So what I want to show you...
You need tshuva to get kapara, but you need something else in addition.
No, no. He said, it says, Bizman hazeh, the only thing we have is tshuva, and tshuva mechaperes al kol averos. Period. Not more to talk about. He doesn't mention anything else.
Then he's trying to bring in the additional thing you need, but you need tshuva, you can't have the other things.
He doesn't say that. Halacha Gimel tells you tshuva is mechap upon everything. It's not my kasha. Yeah. The Rav asked the kasha, the Minchas Chinuch asked the question. So it's not Flam's question. It's the last.
The Gimel's general, and then Dalet gives you the detail how to do it.
But the fact of the matter, at the end of the day, it seems Dalet and Gimel cannot dovetail on a very easy level.
Yeah.
So for this reason, both the Lomdash Yeshiva Shavelt and the Briskavelt points out that there's an answer to the question. And that's on page number 2 of the Mara Makamos. On page 2 of the Mara Makamos, you have the Gemara in Masechtas Yoma, in which one of the greatest Balei Tshuva amongst the Amorayim teaches us a major yesod about the power of Tshuva. The most famous Balei Tshuva of the Amorayim was Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was a Mabuas. In his younger years, a mob boss, a gangster, and Rav Yochanan discovered him and made him into a Baal Tshuva, and he became one of the greatest Amoraim that ever existed. He became the personal Chavrus of Rav Yochanan himself. There isn't a Balat Gemara in Shas that you don't have Reish Lakish mentioned almost every day or every other day in the Gemara itself.
He married his sister, right?
Yeah, Rav Yochanan married Reish Lakish off to his sister as well. So the Gemara tells us that Reish Lakish, the great Baal Tshuva tells us the power of Tshuva, but also in a contradictory statement. The first Reish Lakish says, Gedolu Tshuva, Shezedonos Nasas Lo Kishkavas. Tshuva is so great that it takes a Zadam, which means a rebellious act of purposeful violation of the Torah, and by doing Tshuva, it reduces the severity and makes it into a Shogeg. So it reduces the severity of how the Avera is basically attributed to you. Then says the same Reish Lakish, Gedolu Tshuva, Shahazadainas Nasas Kizochias. That tshuva itself is so powerful that it literally not only does it eradicate the sin, but it becomes a zuchus, some spiritual merit, as if all of a sudden a avera becomes into a mitzvah for you. And he quotes the pasuk to prove this, but the problem is, which one does tshuva do? Does it reduce the sentence, or does it eradicate the sentence? So this is the kasha the Gemara poses on Reish Lakish's own statements. And the Gemara says, the answer, lokashia, kan mi avra, kan mi yira. It depends upon what motivates you to do tshuva and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in this juncture, I remember when the Rav Zatzal gave the shir on this specific topic, he said momentarily, I'm going to turn away from being a Bris Galamdim to act momentarily as a clinical psychologist. And that is, let's understand human behavior and understand what the Reish Lakish is saying over here. What he says very simply is that when a person does Tshuva Meyira, what is the Yira about? That you're fearful that if you basically don't do Tshuva, Hashem is holding a gun to your head and he's going to pull the trigger and you're finished. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato says in Milseil Tzisharim that it's really a chutzpah neira, the human being who lives in this world based upon the brachos given to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God gives you an entire system of rules and regulations how to live in the world he supplied to you, you all of a sudden do a sin. What's a greater rebellion and a lack of HaKadosh than a sin? If the world was based upon Midas Adin, a lightning rod should come down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, strike you on the spot and kill you. But that's not the case, because Hashem also later on created Midas HaRachamim to calm down the situation, give you a chance to rethink what you're doing, and perhaps return. So says Rav Soloveitchik, if a person is doing Tshuva Meyira, then let's see what's going on in this person's brain. I committed a terrible sin, which I had a type for, a desire, a cheshit to do, but now I realize that if I don't do Tshuva before Yom Kippur, I'm going to start doing Tshuva, I might be stricken down and shot with the divine pistol because of my rebelliousness. So I'm being coerced to do tshuva in order that I should not be punished. And when a person is being coerced to do tshuva because of fear of punishment, do we really think that in his mind, in his heart, in his personality, he really had charata, that he really had hakaras achet, that he really thinks honest to goodness, that he's not going to repeat the chet in the future itself? Do we really think there is total remorse in such a person? No. A person who is basically has a gun to his head is doing tshuva because life is more important than death, and therefore he'll do whatever he has to do, as desperate as he is, to keep himself alive. But that doesn't mean there's a change of behavior. That doesn't mean there's an internalization on his part to change his life forever, to become a good neshama, no longer be a rebellious person. And the brain cells, which are known to be very, very powerful as memory cells, whether they go in from your conscious to your subconscious, the great deal has to do with what you do when it comes to trying to dissociate yourself from sin. Logically speaking, when a person what obviously does tshuva because of coercion, it's a very weak type of tshuva. So the Rav says, if that's the case, you do tshuva miyira, the most tshuva can do is diminish the severity of the sin from the measure down to a shegeg, but there's no eradication. Masha and Cain, when a person does tshuva miyava, what does that really
you
mean?
You are listening so to BenStorah.com.
You and a certain person have a loving relation for knows how many years, and all of a sudden something happens between you and your fellow partner over here feels you did something nasty against them, that's perceived as a rebellion against them, as a bezoyin to them, a lack of regard for them, and they feel very hurt and very pained. Now, quite obviously, you as the one who caused the pain, who caused the problem, realize the love and compassion and concern for each other up until now has been damaged. I, as the person who caused the pain, don't want to lose that person as my friend. So I petition them, I do whatever I can to try to make up for what I did. But my ultimate motivation is not the sin itself or the aver I committed against them. My ultimate desire is to reunite the relationship of love and companionship I had with that person before this specific negative activity took place. So my desire is not based upon coercion. Nobody's coercing me. It's based upon my desire to renew a relationship and return to that person and have the love and compassion and concern for each other we had initially before this terrible, painful, negative thing took place between us. When a person does tshuva mi'ava, you basically want to return to Hashem, not because you're afraid of Hashem pushing the trigger of a gun, is that you feel very, very hurt, that you hurt Hashem's ratzai by going against him and rebelling and sinning, and therefore you feel you've damaged your relationship and your closeness and your intimacy between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You therefore, because of Ava, you want to renew that relationship, bring it back the way it was beforehand. You want to once again have an ability to revamp that relationship of intimacy and love I had with Hashem up until this point in time before the sin was committed. So it's not coercion, but it's a real deep desire to rectify and to appease the person I hurt and to literally renew our relationship. A person that's tshuva mi'ava is doing it on a divine human level, not on a human to human level. So says our salvation that when you really are makir the chet and the mistake you made, there's no question the hakaras achet is going to bring to us zivas achet, because I want to renew the relationship. And there's no question that the Kabbalah al asid, since I want the relationship to exist, is going to be a true Kabbalah. So by tshuva mi'ava, what the Rabbi Hashem does is, since he sees you're so sincere and you really want to return and renew the relationship, he does your gavadlik ateva. He pushes the divine delete button, which recorded your sin, and it's out of God's divine computer. The Ayin Raya of Ezen Shemaas, there's a delete button switch, and the Avera has been eliminated from the list against you. But what's even more fascinating is they say when you do Tshuva Mi'ava, somehow the actual Avera becomes a Zochus, becomes a powerful spiritual force. But once again, the Gemara does not define what that means. I'm going to show you the Rambam very shortly, where the Rambam does describe it. But before I do that Rambam, I want to go back to Halacha Gimel Dalet on Amud Aleph of the Rambam, page number 1. But Rav Soloveitchik says, therefore, to rectify and to resolve the steer in the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva about the power of Tshuva and then the concept of Dalet Chulke Kapara, what the Rav says very simply is, there's a very simple teretz. The concept of Dala Chalukah Kapara only applies if I did Tshuva Meira. Because if I do Tshuva Meira, there is a remnant of the sin still in my person because the Tshuva is being coerced and forced upon me. So if that's the case, depending upon the severity of the crime, I got other things I have to do besides Tshuva to cause my sin to be rectified. Whether it's Yisurim, whether it's Misa, etc., etc. But Tshuva alone is not sufficient. When the Rambam says, "V'zmaizel without a base of midrash, without a veda, tshuva is mechaperes kol averos with kedushas Yom Kippurim," there the Rambam is talking about the ideal tshuva, the tshuva mi'ava, that's mechaperes upon everything. There's a total delete button. I don't need yisuvim. I don't need misa. The tshuva alone has the capacity to mechaper upon everything, and that's what the Rambam is talking about ideally in halacha and megimel. So we're talking about two different types of tshuva in two different halachos. They don't contradict each other. And that's the way the brisk is, and later on I saw the Minchas Sinuch also resolves it that way. So that takes away the ultimate kasha.
So it shouldn't be that you're doing tshuva because you don't want Hashem to be angry with you.
Right.
You're doing tshuva because you love Hashem and you don't want to make Hashem unhappy.
Unhappy, and you want to renew the relationship.
between yourself
and Hashem. It shouldn't be the self-interest of not wanting Hashem to be annoyed with you.
Because you're fearful of divine punishment.
Even if you're not fearful of the divine punishment, you still want Hashem to be unhappy with you.
Yeah. But the question is, what are you so afraid of?
Well,
that's anger. That's what I'm
saying. That's what you call fear.
No. Well, in this case, this is yiras onesh. There's no question. This is not the concept of what you call moras ha'mora, which is that's a higher level of ava. I'm not even going to get into that. Yira in this context means yiras onesh. There's no question.
See, the analogy with the friend, though, is not quite analogous. With a friend, you're not afraid he's going to hurt you. You're afraid he's going to be annoyed.
He can take a gun and shoot you too. I mean, just read the news every day. I mean, you don't have to use your now. I don't even want to get into it. Just turn on the news for half an hour. You'll hear
the leak in the head. I understand why he has to get extra credit of mitzvah from the head.
That's going to be the next part of the shiur. So if you look in quotation B, it's the Rambam in that part of the Hilchos Tshuva where he resolves that specific quandary. And that is, look in Halacha Dalet. This is a very interesting halacha. He says, Al Yid Ma'adam Bal Tshuva, a person should not think if he's a Bal Tshuva, Shehu Meruchak Mimalas HaTzadikim, that he is very distant from the level of people at Tzadikim, and they are Vonas Vachatar Shah, so because of his sinful behavior. Ein Adava Kein, Ela Ahub V'Nechmahud L'fnei HaBarei, the person who's a Baal Tshuva, real Baal Tshuva, the Tshuva Mi'ava, is beloved and desired, a friend of Hashem, as if he never sinned at all. Kilochatu Me'olam. So what type of Tshuva is he referring to? Tshuva Mi'ava. Kilochatu Me'olam, correct? Chazen.
Yeah.
Now, below O, Elo Sheschara Habe, now we're coming to the second part. Not only is it as if he didn't sin, but he gets tremendous schar for basically doing Tshuva Mi'ava. Shreitam tamchet, upirish mimenu, v'kavash yitro, amru chachamim, mokim shabala tshuva omrim, ein tzadikim gemurim yochal lamad boi, kolayma malasim gedoyil mimalas, eilu shlochotim yolam, neishen koishim yitron, yosim ehem.
They were exposed to the good stuff.
So says basically the Rambam, what does Gemara mean when you do tshuva mi'ava, arifu tshuva mi'ava, that all of a sudden the zogin becomes a zuchus. The zuchus is that since the person is toying the time of chet, for him to do tshuva and to eradicate the power of the memory cells of that chet, he has to exert more effort emotionally, psychologically, religiously to keep himself in place. We have a principle in Hashkafas HaTara, lefum tsara agra. It's not only you're doing a mitzvah, but you are judging that mitzvah based upon the amount of pain and effort you put into it. The goyim kidnapped that mime and made it into a commercial. The more pain, the more gain. You know, when it comes to commercials on exercise, the more pain, basically, the more gain in losing weight. But the fact of the matter is, initially, it was dealing with the spiritual concept. So the Gemara says, so that's the case. When a person is tshuva mi'ava, and therefore he has to work harder on his Yetzirah to prevent him from returning to the sin, because sin is sweet. Sin has a certain attractiveness. If I have to basically kovish my Yetzirah not to return, I have to work harder than perhaps the tzaddik in Peltz, who never had a chance even to come close to do the chet, because he's always surrounded with different types of safeguards. He doesn't have to exert the extra power not to be chayta in that type of sin. So therefore, based upon the Funsara Agra, that's the schus mentioned by the Gemara. Yeah. Not that it's a mitzvah. I mean, that's the way it's judging. Right. That's why, okay. It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. In Shemayim, you're judged not based only upon the goods and the bads you did, but the amount of effort you put in the goods and the bads. That quality difference makes all the difference in the world. So that this Rambam answers the question. But now, Rabbi, so we come to a very interesting piece. And that is, this answers the question of how powerful Tshuva Mi'ava is. But now we have the major question of the night, which I have basically 20 minutes to answer for you. And this is the big question. That question is, if Tshuva Mi'ava is so powerful, that literally, what does it accomplish? It literally accomplishes that it allows the entire chet to be erased, and you get zuchuyot for lafun tzara agra. That concept is applicable 365 days a year.
Right.
And therefore, tshuva mi'avi, think about it, can be done not only on Aser Simei Tshuva, it can be done on Purim, it can be done on Chanukah, it can be done on Shavuos. So why is it that the Aser Simei Tshuva nevertheless has a special symbolic and chashivas when it comes to tshuva and these Aser Simei Tshuva? Tshuva mi'avi should be so powerful that should be applicable kol Hashem Akula, but nevertheless, the Ram says, if you're going to do a real Geshmaka Tshuva, Aser Simei Tshuva is the optimum time. What's so optimum? Once you do Tshuva Mi'ava, you've eradicated the sin, the delete button's been pushed. It's erased from your entire book in Shemayim concerning your history. So this is the million dollar question everybody asks. And the answer to this, I heard beautifully from Rav Soloveitchik. Listen to what he says, because at the end of the day, this is a major yisod. So if you want to look in the Maamar Mekamos, turn momentarily to page number 3. If you look on page number 3, if you find, and especially if you're a chazen, you'll appreciate this, when you read the pasuk, "Yom hazeh yichap alechem tzaras b'chochad nofnei Hashem tetaro," I hear our chazen's voice in my ears. Our chazen sitting here. How many times on the Yom Kippur? How many times you say this on Yom Kippur? To be Yom Hazeh, you sing it. The Chazan says it. He sings it. We sing it over and over again. So Rav Soloveitchik said it's an interesting expression. On this day, Hashem is mechap upon us to purify ourselves from all our sins. Lifnei Hashem titaru. What is Avodas Yom Kippur all about? It seems, he says, is talking about the concept of tahara, of purification, more than the kapara of the concept of receiving expiation for sin. So says Rav Soloveitchik the following yisod. He points out that if you look in Talmudic literature and Kabbalistic literature, Chazal tell us that a chet, a sin, has two major ramifications. Number one, you rebelled against Hashem. Midas Adin would say you should be punished. You should be literally hurt or destroyed because of your rebelliousness. So there is the reaction to the chet on a pragmatic, ownish level. But there's another problem. Chazal tell us that where mitzvahs are mekadoshas, averos are metamios. Neshamah shenasakli toheri, Hashem gave us a pure neshama. But during the year, if we do mitzvahs, we say Asher Kiddushah b'mitzvahs, the mitzvahs are mekadoshas. When a person does a ma'isa avera, an avera literally contaminates us. The term the Chazal use to prove this is a pasuk you find by Kashris, where it says Vayochlu v'lo nitmeisim b'hem, nitmeisim b'hem. Chazal say avera mitantemes libo sh'odam. Anavera contaminates, spiritually contaminates your heart and soul because of the vera itself being performed. Avera is amatamayu, mitzvah is amakadashi. So says Rav Soloveitchik, every time a person does a maisa avera, the second component part of it causes a kilkul and a tumba in your neshama. When Chazal said Klai Yisrael sinned so badly, they went to the level of mentef shari tumba. It means they experienced so much avera action in Mitzrayim, they went to almost one of the lowest levels you could reach when it comes to spiritual contamination. So says Rav Soloveitchik, if that's the case, how do we rectify the onesh part for the sin? How do we rectify the tumor part that's caused by the sin? So he says this is the answer to the question. Kol Hashem Akula, even when you do a tshuva mi'ava, what tshuva does is tshuva causes, Chazal say, a kapara. Now what does kapara mean? So he says the word kapara has various terminologies in Tanakh that have the same meaning symbolically. For instance, kapara means to expiate. But the word kapara also is related to the word kaporas. Kaporas is the name of the lid on top of the Aron HaKodesh. What was the purpose of the kapparos on top of the Aron HaKodesh? It was a protective device to protect the luchos and the Sefer Torah contained in the side, inside the actual Aron HaKodesh. So kapparos for lu means a protective device. In the context of kapparos, when it comes to kapparos ha'onesh, it means when a person sins, since it's rebellion, there should be a midas ha'din thrown against you. What protects you from the midas ha'din? A person doing tshuva. If a person does tshuva, he has a kapara. What does kapara mean? Hashem Savar surrounds you with a divine kapara as a protective shield, preventing the midas ha'din ever punishing you for the rebellion you committed when you committed the sin. So that protective shield, that kaparas, is what keeps the onesh from ever impacting upon you. You're protected from the onesh. If it's shuvah mi'ava, totally protected. Shuvah mi'ira, a partial protection, because it's treated as a shogi rather than a mezid. But it protects you from the ultimate midas ha'din that would have punished you based upon the way the world was created initially. So he says, that concept of shuvah mi'ava, that kapara, that, I agree with you, applies kol Hashem Mekul. No question. It's not zman grama. But the problem is, that only takes care of the onish part. How you recycle or purify your neshama, that once again it could be said upon you, ha-neshama shenasati be-tahorihi, how do you get it to be tahor again? Do you have the power as a human being to purify your neshama? So concerning this, what Soloveitchik says, that's why each and every day we say in our tefillahs, "Hanishamah shenasati bi tahori," which means to say, our pure neshama was given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of our yitzirah, the time of our creation. Hashem gives everybody a pure neshama as part of His shutvis in Gimel Shutvim Ba'Olam when it comes to giving us our neshama in Selma Elokim, neshama tahora. We ourselves, if we contaminate the neshama during the year by doing averos, we contaminate it. But the problem is, we don't have the capacity to return to a state of pristine purity and purity as a human being, because the whole purity of the neshama, which is metaphysical, is the yetzirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chol d'atzmo, who created that metaphysical concept of purity in neshama, can somehow recycle it and repurify it and bring it back to a state of pristine purity the way it was kadem achet. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is megaleh in the pasuk of Yom Kippur, "Ki b'yom hazeh yichaf aleichem l'tareschem," that once a year I will take whatever tshuva you did, and specifically tshuva mi'ava, and not only on that day you'll have kapar, which means you won't be punished an onesh because of the sin that you did, because the sin's going to be erased, but I'm going to do another favor for you. I'm going to recycle and purify your neshama, that goes back to the state of pristine purity, kodem ched, as if you never sinned before. He's going to return it back to the state of total purity it had before you tainted it with the ched at the time of the actual performance of the sin. But that happens once a year based upon Zeres HaKasov, and that's on the day of Yom Kippurim. Ki b'yom hazeh, on this day Yom Kippur, it's a kapar that has tahara, lifnei Hashem titaru, which only Hashem can do. We cannot do it as human beings. So concerning this, Rav Soloveitchik said, if you think I'm just dreaming about this pshat, I'm going to prove it to you that this is reality. And to do this, Rabbi said, turn back to page number 2, and let me show you the Maramokom number Gimel. The last Mishnah in Masechtes Yoma deals with the Maimer Chazal for none other than the greatest Baal Tshuva amongst the Tanoim, and that is Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was one of the greatest Balei Tshuva of his time. He ended up being the greatest disseminator of Torah for generations to come. Without Rabbi Kiva and his 5 Talmidim, we would not be having the Shia tonight, nor would there be a Daf Yomi cycle, nor would there be any type of Torah today. All the Torah Shofar we have today comes from Rabbi Kiva and his famous 5 Talmidim. This Rabbi Kiva, therefore, when he talks about Tshuva, he has expertise because he went from a person who was a Soinei Chachamim, as the Gemara says. There's a famous Gemara that says upon Rabbi Kiva, not only did he hate Torah and Mitzvot, but if you saw a Chachim, he said, if I could bite him and hurt him and damage them, I would do that as well. That's the way he thought about it initially. But this Rabbi Kiva then became the greatest Rosh Yeshiva in the entire world. So Amar Rabbi Kiva on quotation C, listen to what he says. Ashrechem Yisrael, Lefnamiya Tematarim, Umimatar Eschem, Ovichem Shebashamayim, Shinema Zarakti Alechem, Mayim Taharim, Utahartem, Vome Mikva Yisrael Hashem, Ma Mikva Matar Esatameim, Afa Kodesh Baruch, Umimatar Es Yisrael. So you see, Befesh Rabbi Kiva says that on the day of Yom Kippur, who is Mataros? The Rabbeinu Shalom becomes a mikveh tahara for us to mataros on the day of Yom Kippurim, and that is the matara and shamus to take away any type of metaphysical shmutz and dirt that contaminated during the year because of Averos. Therefore, you are fortunate, class, so you should be happy to know who is being matara you on this day of Yom Kippur, and that is the Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'biatzmo. So if that's the case, Rabbi Yisai, that is why the Rambam says that tshuva kol shana kula is wonderful. You can get tshuva mi'ava, total kapara, total eradication of sin. But what you're missing is the finality of Yom Kippur. Keitz, mechila v'slich, kapara, the final finishing touch that literally returns you to the state of pristine purity. That's what happens on Seder Mishuva, culminating on Yom HaKippurim. That's why it is the best time of the year for a person to tshuva mi'ava, because you get a double whammy. Not only do you have total eradication of the sin against you, but also total rectification, repurification of your neshama. It becomes a neshama tahara through the agency of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if that's the case, that's why tshuva, joins us. May tshuva has a special uniqueness. One more piece and we'll go to the Davar Mara tonight.
Kaparos.
What?
How about the kaparos? The kaparos that you already mentioned. Is that something that only kicks in protecting you on your
Kippur? No, Kol Hashana Kula. Kol Hashana Kula. Now, the crucial factor which the Salvation used to show this and to demonstrate another point, which I'm going to finish up with, is something I always wondered when I was a younger person, and he gave the answer very cogently. The thing that I always wondered about was, this poor Kohen Gadol, think about it. He is mamish going to do an avodah by himself the entire day of Yom Kippur in a fasting state. The way he has to run from here to there to there to here, you just read the narrative, he can get dizzy just trying to keep a cheshbon on what he has to do alone. But besides that, they burden him with something else. He got to go to the mikveh and table himself at least 5 times. And change his begadim from the golden begadim to the white begadim, from the white begadim to the golden begadim. So I always say to people, women have no problem with that because they do that in hotels every Shabbos and Yom Kippur. For women, that's a double pasha. Yeah. But for us men, when do we change our suits in the hotel? You wear one suit, and we talk the suit against the Yom Kippur, no? But for men, it's a... This poor Kohen Gadol, besides everything else he got to do. Now, I can understand dipping in the mikveh maybe refreshes him because he's fasting, so wakes him up a little bit. But having to change it back and forth, and the Zahar Padah, the golden begadim had to be worn outside in the Azara. And going to the Kodesh Kedoshim, it could only be with the white begadim. What's going on over here? So Soloveitchik had a beautiful vert, and we'll end with this before we go to Maariv. He said the following. He points out that there is a Medrash Chazal that says, "Ein katega nasa senega." Therefore, we don't blow, for instance, a shofar made from a horn of a para, because since when you blow a shofar, the symbolism of the sound goes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you don't want to remind Hashem of the sin of the chet of the Egel Hazor. So therefore, the katega can't become a senega. What was the prosecutor can't come to defend us. Now,
but then
there's another Gemara. The Gemara says, Medrash says, why is it that Kohen Gadol B'davka had begadim made of gold? What's the reason Kelim and the Beis Hamikdash are made of gold? Because a katega becomes a senega. This is called the concept of tshuva samishkol. The chafis with which you sinned and rebelled against God, if you now make it as an instrument of mitzvah performance, that's called tshuva samishkol. So instead of sitting with gold, I'm doing your mitzvah with gold. So therefore, you have gold in a kelim. The kohen wears gold in the begadim to show that a kateger can become a senega. What was a prosecution against you, it cannot become a defense attorney. So So says Rasala Beishik the following. He says, on Yom HaKippurim, there's an Avodas Chutz and Avodas Pinim. The Avodas Chutz you do outside the Azara is the Avodah the Kain does called Hashana Kula, where the Katega becomes a Senega. So there Bedafki wears golden and begotten to do a tshuva of a tshuva Samishka. When he goes into the Kodesh HaGerushim, why is he going into the Kodesh HaGerushim? Because he wants to remind the Rabbeinu Shalom that on Yom Kippur, there's one additional factor. And that is, we don't just want Kapara, we want Tahara. And the only entity available to give us Tahara is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chvodo Atzmo, Lifnei Hashem, Tahara. So we put on the white begadim because we realize we don't have the capacity to cause Tahara. And we want our neshama should be turned as white as snow, to the total purification, that the eradication of sin and the discoloration of an neshama should be rectified. So we go therefore into the Kodesh Kedoshim. The purpose is to arouse Lifnei Hashem Titaru. That is the Ika of the Yom Kippurim. He puts on white begadim to show that on, when it comes to that, Ein Kateg Anasa Seneva, that we can accomplish that, only the Rabbeinu Shalom can accomplish that. So we show total submission to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're now helpless when it comes to this. You can do it, and therefore that's why you change from one to another to show two different avodas taking place on Yom Kippur. God's part in the process, we have to tell you, our process of tshuva kapara, that's how it's geared, that's how it's arranged. Basically have a little more of a flavor now for what it's all about.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.